This is a random supplemental punk news podcast bonus feature just for people that subscribe to this show. Hi, I'm Adam White. This episode falls somewhere after 296 and before 297. It is Record Store Day, and I have gone and collected the usual Talk About Vinyl crew, so we get together and talk about what we bought. We do this sometimes at the beginning of shows, particularly when me, John, and Ricky are on. But and it sometimes is long and nerdy and maybe not the most relevant thing for anyone to hear. So if you don't want to hear about three middle class consumers purchased today, by all means, skip over to the next episode. But if you are interested in materialism and people talking about what color of things they bought, today is the day to do that. So I am in Niagara Falls. It is probably 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, Eastern Standard Time at the moment. Joining me from Philadelphia, John Gentile.
From Philadelphia, trapped out in Harrisburg right now, much to my chagrin.
And down in the center of it all, the warrior among us in L.A., Mr. Ricky Frankel.
Oh, barely alive today. I'm not kidding. This was a tough one.
And also, because it is the middle of the day, potentially my daughter, so who knows. So it's Record Store Day. We all went out and we did our thing. We'll talk maybe about what we bought in a minute. I just kind of want to start this off by, let's just go around. I want to know where you went and what was the experience? What was the general vibe? And then we'll come back and talk about releases in a minute. So, Ricky, I think you have probably the most interesting of the stories. So why don't I let John go first? Yeah, let John go first.
Whatever you guys want to do.
You go last because I'm sure you have the most interesting.
Okay.
So I'm going first? Yeah. Well, I usually go to two places on Record Store Day. When I'm on the East Coast, I go to two places. I usually go to Electric Avenue in Westchester for the official Record Store Day releases, and then I zip on down to Jupiter Records down outside Wilmington because they usually drop a bunch of rare records and stuff. Jupiter Records doesn't do Record Store Day. What they do is they'll take that money that they would have spent for Record Store Day exclusives and buy a big personal personal collection that's been highly curated by someone with some taste, and then they'll sell that. And they usually have some pretty crazy stuff. However, this year, because of my job, I am trapped out in Harrisburg this week, actually outside of Harrisburg. And today I had negotiations regarding settlement for a case. So I had to be at a conference center whatever you call this place where you run out just to have a conference or rather a meeting. It's really just a room with a table.
It's a room with a table.
I had to go to a room with a table to negotiate a lawsuit, negotiate settlement. So, but I wanted to go to Record Store Day. So I Googled, and near my place right now, the hotel, is a place called the Recordsmith out in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And so I put off – I had to go to a settlement thing just right – like literally 10 minutes afterwards I had to run out. So I show up at – I wake up at 5:30, get there by 6 a.m. I'm wearing my suit because I have to go to work – well, go do work later. So I'm standing in line, and Mechanicsburg is outside Harrisburg. So it's not like – the boonies, but it's certainly not the big city. It's really how most of America actually is. It's kind of rural, I guess you could say. Not super rural, but fairly rural. You know, and what a lot of people don't know is that – well, I don't mean this disrespectfully. I'll just say hillbillies – people think that city people are the hit music people. Hillbillies love music. Hillbillies are probably bigger record collectors than hip city people. I'm not even kidding. So outside the record, so I get there about 6 a.m., and it's me and it's a bunch of hillbillies, regular dudes, just kind of hanging out, waiting. And the shop was pretty small, and so they open up at 8 o'clock, and we go in. And honestly, the store owner was a nice guy. The other employee there was a nice guy, but they didn't do it well in that instead of like having people in line one at a time or whatever, it was a free-for-all, but not only was it a free-for-all, they hid the records all around the shop, and the shop is only about the size of, I don't know, half of a 7-Eleven. You know, it's a very small shop. So it was mania. People like, so it didn't really matter if you got there early or not because you could just get there late and kind of bully your way through. And I'm sorry, Adam, what was the question? I'm tired.
Everyone's just tired.
You're answering it. You know, where'd you go? What was going on? So anyway, we'll talk about what you bought after.
Okay. So anyway, the guys that ran the shop were nice. They did not have a great selection. They had, I would say, a very mediocre, maybe even worse. Although I did get some cool stuff. But I will say everyone there was very pleasant. And that's the difference between country and city people. I would say on average – oh, I got one other quick thing to say. On average, I would say country people are more pleasant than city people on average. Of course, there's exceptions. The other thing was this. Is pretty much everybody there was a country person. You guys know what I mean when I say a country person?
Sure.
Straw hat.
And this is the thing that city people have is that they think every country person is a racist redneck that likes, you know, harassing minorities. That's not true. That's not true at all. What I mean is they're maybe not as up to date on the music scene, and they have their own values that city people don't have. And so everyone there was very polite, except you could tell there was one guy there. You could tell he thought he was the belle of the ball, and maybe he just annoyed the hell out of me. Maybe because I was tired, he was. Like everyone else was kind of dressed like a country person, but he was dressed like, well, like he lived in Brooklyn, which I don't care how someone dresses, but he's talking really, really loud, and he's like, I went and saw the Kills last night, and let me tell you, it was an amazing show, and he's going on and on and on about how great the Kills were, and how annoying this girl was, and he couldn't believe how annoying she was, and then he's going on and on about, he's like, well, I'm only looking for the indie releases, he's like, And then he's going on and on. He's like, there's this one record store that I usually go to, and they've had this record on the wall for 2 years, and I can't go there because I might want to buy it. It's by this guy, Ian McKay. Maybe you've heard of him. It's his newest band. It's the new record by this band called The Evans. The Evans. And I just wanted to punch the guy. I don't know why. Why should that – I mean, like, the guy did nothing to me. Like, the guy was trying to prove to everyone else that he was, like, this super record collector, and he didn't know shit. And I don't know why that would annoy me. Like, he's a nothing to me, but it annoyed me. Maybe it's because I was tired and everyone else was generally pleasant and the guy wanted attention on him. I don't know, Adam. Do I sound like a curmudgeon or a miser?
I'm surprised that you have found a way to use this record show to get us in hot water with, like, everyone that doesn't live in a big city.
No, I'm saying I love country people. On average, I like country people more than city people. On average.
But no, I get what you mean. No, people are obnoxious hillbilly? Sometimes.
I don't mean that as a negative way. I mean people that, you know, aren't hip city people. That's what I mean. And honestly, that's what most of America is, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, like people that are just wearing, you know, suspenders with.
They were not wearing dungarees and carrying pitchforks.
We all know what you mean. All right, well, that's interesting. Well, that's cool because that was a different experience than what you've normally done.
It was, but I didn't get all the sweet, sweet records that I want. But what can you do? I'm a grown man. I can deal with it. You know what I mean?
All right, I'll go next here. So I totally didn't do the crazy thing, which is I got up at like a normal time today and like I went to the gym and then I had a shower and came home
so
and
much.
Dressed my kids and everything. And then at like 10:30 or so, I'm like, oh, I'll go for a record store day now. So and I'm just driving. The windows are down because it's nice out finally. And I turn the corner. I'm in Niagara Falls at this point. So I turn the corner to the street where SRC Vinyl is, expecting to see a line. Because last year they had a line that was – the line was there until about 1 PM, and they were letting people into the store probably about like 30, maybe 40 at a time. And it was packed. Like you talk about like half the size of a 7-Eleven, like all of our stores around here are half the size of a 7-Eleven. So like the place was packed. This year I turned the corner and there is like not a soul. I don't see anyone, no line, nothing. So like I go down to the, there's a farmer's market around the corner and I park my car and I come walking out of the farmer's market and there's some old people sitting there with a stand-up sign about Jesus to try to tell you about Jesus. And they're sitting right across the street from all the strip clubs that are there. And then right next to the strip clubs and the Jesus people is SRC Vinyl. So SRC, if anyone doesn't know, this is Shop Radiocast, basically. It's like a big online store. I want to say that they're probably like second to maybe Interpunk as far as like online, you know, punk record store places. It's an offshoot of Punk Radiocast, which used to be like an online radio station that was run out of Toronto up here. So anyways, it just like coincidentally, those guys live in my city. And last year they decided that we run this big online record store and they actually run it with like all their inventory out of Buffalo, I think, because it's easier to ship to the States out of the States. They said, well, you know, we run our business here. We may as well like open up a storefront. So it's like the first legit cool record store that's been in Niagara Falls in a long time. So I love that it's there. I love going in there. Went in. It was, you know, medium busy. There was people there and everything, but it wasn't nuts. There was nothing super exciting happening. And I was a little bit disappointed just in that. I was in it today more for the craziness than the any particular release. Like I just wanted to be in the bustle. And there wasn't a lot of bustle. So, you know, I went in, I poked around. They have like a lot of racks. They had a lot of bins there of the Record Store Day releases in particular, but then they had taken a lot of it too and just sort of like peppered it amongst the, you know, alphabetized stuff. So I raked through some bins, and honestly, the thing that was more interesting there to me than not was that they had like super discounted a bunch of stuff just kind of like for the occasion. So, you know, that was decent, but I'll talk about that stuff in a minute when we talk about kind of what we picked up. But so I went there, and then I came out, and I was out of that store in 40 minutes or so, and I was like, well, shit, I was expecting to be in a line all day long, so I guess I'll go somewhere else now. So hopped in the car, drove to St. Catharines, Ontario, where there's a store called Mind Bomb. Mind Bomb has been open just for a year. This was their one-year anniversary because they opened last year on Record Store Day. Mind Bomb is a smaller store in terms of selection, and they're also a pricier store. And I think that they're probably more of a normally priced store for Canada with the dollar the way that it is right now. And we sort of benefit from the SRC vinyl because we're getting a lot of the inventory that they would have otherwise had for the online store here. So they've got more buying power, I think. So I go into Mind Bomb, and you know, my Mind Bomb's sometimes a little bit expensive for me, but it's a cooler store. Like there's a cooler vibe there. It's dark. It's not as bright and happy as SRC is. And they had a DJ in there, and he was like spinning like old soul records, and it was just cool. It was a way cooler vibe. So, you know, popped into there, just sort of hung out, bought a small amount of stuff there, but that was my experience. So my whole thing was like front to back an hour. It was the most chill of the Record Store Days that I have participated in, which is like two. So like last year was nuts. This year it was just, you know, relaxing Saturday morning shopping in the cities. So Ricky, that is probably completely different than what you had to deal with.
Your story is literally the opposite of mine. So I'm just going to say one release I got because I don't want to forget, and it doesn't involve what I got today. Last night, technically, Record Store Day started for me. Pairs quickly announced that they put out a 7-inch exclusively for a they covered a theme song of a store of a record store in New Orleans, which is where they're from, and they made like a 7-inch out of it, and the record store, which is called Sisters in Christ, made it available for online purchase as well. So, like midnight, that could be midnight West Coast, East Coast, Central Time, I don't know. Luckily, I meant East Coast Time, so I got it. It went up online at like 9. I was finished with my purchase at like 9:02. So I got that. Let's see. Go to sleep. I went to sleep at like, what, like, I think I got into bed at like 10:30, which is like the earliest I've been to bed in a long time. Got up at 4:05 with an alarm. It's still dark as fuck outside. My drive, my freeway, it's a problem. It's still dark. Again, I get to Amoeba Hollywood. Let's see, probably 5:20. And there's still like, you know, Amoeba's on a city block. The face of it is on a city block, but and what happens is a line forms around the whole city block on Record Store Day. I managed to get there. There were people there that from, you know, yesterday that were just sitting there, but there were probably still at that hour, there must have been 50 or 60 people ahead of me. And so this time I was smart though. I brought food, water, and I brought a foldable chair, which saved my life. Because last time I stood for 5 hours, and that was the worst thing ever. This time I sat. I had podcasts to listen to. I had creeps next to me on each side. I had a straight-up hermit who looked like he hadn't been outside in years, and he was just a creep. Then the other side, I had these snobby, turntable equipment people that were just talking about how, you know, they change their needle every 6 months or whatever. And I'm like, I don't need that right now. We just kept going. I just kept sitting there. I was sitting where the lines were turned into like halfway in the block into like this alley, and I don't know how to do this without pissing people off now. A possibly homeless gentlewoman who was tripping on something, I would say of the harder drug variety, was like asking people, "Do you feel me? Do you feel me?" And I just like,
she'd be like, "Yeah."
I don't know. But what I saw was she went up to like some other guy, and this was awful. And she just, he was a bald gentleman, and she started rubbing his head. They didn't know each other. She started rubbing his head. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's worth dying for records today. So eventually she just kind of went away. She came back again, and then, but she left me alone, which was nice. The way Amoeba works is if you get in line, but you have to fill out a checklist of everything they have. I'd filled one out. They had a PDF of it on their website. So I filled it out a lot. I filled it out like yesterday. And what they do is they collect them. And then when you, while you're waiting in line, they're packaging up everything you want, assuming it's all there, in a bag for you. And then you go inside, you pay for it. So it's not like this free for all Walmart style Black Friday thing where everyone's punching each other to get the records they want. It's fairly civilized. And then there's also like a blown up poster of the whole menu of everything, and they check off like what's out of stock and stuff like that. But you know, getting there at like 5:20 was way better than getting there at 7:30 like I did last year, because I was I think I got out of there around like 10:45, 10:30. Later, 10:40, 10:45 or 10:50, because I got home only like 30 minutes ago. Yeah, 30 minutes ago. Overall, I mean, I'm exhausted and I have a show later, but it was worth it. I got everything I wanted except for one thing, which we'll go into later. Overall, this is probably my most successful record store day to date.
Cool. Six
hours total.
Six? Jesus, man. Mine was
five and change.
Mine was so casual compared to that.
I still haven't completely absorbed what's just happened to me in the last 8 hours.
All right. So, John, what'd you pick up?
The main things that I wanted was the Guar 12 inch, which is kind of dumb because it's just a CD version. I mean, just a record version of the CD. There's nothing really special about it. I wanted the NoFX 7 inch just to check it out. I'm not a huge NoFX fan, but I'm becoming more and more of a fan. I wanted the Joe Strummer 12-inch, and I didn't get any of those. I don't think they had them, but if they did, I missed them. But I did get several cool things. First of all, I got probably what I wanted the most, if anything, because this was a unreleased thing. I got Sublime's Ja Won't Pay the Bills, which is a vinyl reissue of their very, very first album called Ja Won't Pay the Bills, which originally was a cassette that the band sold themselves. And so this is like one of the better things about Record Store Day, if you ask me, is I don't think Sublime could really sell this as just like a normal item because I don't think the interest is high enough. But as a special exclusive for Record Store Day for hardcore fans, they were able to produce it, and it's cool. I listened to it, and actually it sounds way better than what I've heard online on YouTube and stuff because of the sound quality. They did a wonderful job with it. So if you're a Sublime fan, it's kind of a must-have. The other thing that I really did want to get, which was nice. I got the New Barbarians, and the New Barbarians is Keith Richards and Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones and a lot of the Rolling Stones backing members, and it's a 10-inch record, And I think it's, well, I guess the actual title is, they offer nothing more than ear-to-ear violence. But it sounds like it's a death metal album or something. It's a classic rock record, live, and it's Keith Richards and Ron Wood playing live without Mick Jagger and without Bill Wyman and without Charlie Watts. And it's a if you're a Rolling Stones fan, it's awesome. It's really cool. Because honestly, most Keith, even though Keith Richards is probably the greatest guitar player ever, his solo albums are boring. But the New Barbarians are not boring live. I think it's because it's Ron Wood's songs mostly. I didn't even know they were putting this out. I got a CD version of the new Flaming Lips release, which is an alternate mix of Clouds Taste Metallic. And it came with a little comic book by Wayne Coyne. And I agree that Wayne Coyne is kind of exhausting these days, but I saw for $12 that it's kind of a unique thing, and Flaming Lips put out a lot of interesting, unique items, and the material is usually pretty good. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited to check it out. I was like, for $12, it seemed really cool. I forgot to do my snarky answer. Adam, ask me what I got again.
John, what did you get?
Adam, for me, every day is record store day, okay? No, but the last thing that I got was this was not a record store day item. This was a used copy of Big Audio Dynamite's Come On Every Beatbox. And I don't even know why I really bought it, because I don't really like that song too much. I got it because it was super cheap. It's a 12-inch with two bonus B-sides that you can't get anywhere else. And honestly, ever since Clash Week, I've been what do you call it when you're doing something but not intentionally?
Subconscious?
I think subconsciously I'm trying to make myself like Big Audio Dynamite just so I have more Clash material or Clash-related material to enjoy, because I really don't like Big Audio Dynamite that much, but I keep like finding myself listening to them on YouTube, and I just bought this 12-inch, so maybe I'll become a Big Audio Dynamite fan. So for me, listen, I'm not going to cry like a baby. I'm a grown man. There's nothing that I really, really, really had to get this time. I did get the two things that I think I wanted most. Would have been nice to get the Joe Strummer thing and the Guar thing, but I think I'll be able to pick that up online, honestly, if I really want to get it. So I had fun at Record Store Day, but the funny thing was is, I mean, I was in my suit, but I think I looked terrible because I didn't go to sleep till like 1:30 last night, and I woke up at 5:30. And so,
they may think that you like slept in that suit.
Well, see, yeah, I stumbled in my suit. I have my tie on, but not tight because I'm not gonna tighten up my tie. I don't need to tighten it because I think that they're annoying. So I stumbled in. I'm like, do you guys have the Sublime and Guar record?
that's kind of perfect though.
Yeah, I'm just here for Sublime and Guar. Do you guys have that? So anyway, I had an okay record store day. Like I said, there wasn't a ton of things that I really, really wanted. I would have been bummed if I had missed like an Off thing. Or actually, there is a Melvins 7-inch out, but it's kind of like I meant to talk about this. I was trying to be funny. I'm sorry that I'm droning on. But my record store day was actually on Wednesday, because the Melvins played on Wednesday and they had a bunch of exclusive vinyl for sale at the show, and I snapped it up. So I'll take that over what I could have got at record store day every day of the week, because they were handmade, hand-designed, signed, unique items that you can only get at Melvin shows. So I can't complain. My record store day was Wednesday. Today was a bonus. Adam White, what cool things did you get? And what did you miss?
So I feel like the one thing that I really missed that I only learned about the other day, and I'm actually okay with missing it because I don't really need it and it's probably was going to be really expensive, is so there is a band. Are you guys aware of the band called Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet?
I am. Another fellow that I saw at the Melvin show asked me, did I like that band? And I said yes, because he said he was trying to get that same exact item. That was a hot item this year, Adam.
Yeah, so they released a – so they were a – I don't want to spoil the joke of the name of this record, I guess, but they were an instrumental rock band back in the 80s and late 80s, I guess, early 90s. Basically, if you ever seen Kids in the Hall, they played the theme song to Kids in the Hall, and they were actually really heavily associated with the kids when they were just doing stand up in Toronto. Like there were a lot of Shadowy Men shows that were like Shadowy Men / early Kids in the Hall stand up performances. So anyway, so they had three records that came out. I had their last one on the reissue vinyl, and or their I have their big one, which is called Savvy Showstoppers. It was reissued on Mammoth Cave Records, which is a now defunct label, a few years ago, in like a big, beautiful gatefold release. So I own that. So I didn't really need this Record Store Day thing. But on Record Store Day, there was a release that came out from them called it was called Oh, I Guess We're a Fucking Surf Band After All. And it is all three of their records in one little kind of box set thing. So that would have, if I would have seen that, I would have probably bought it, and I don't really need it, but it would have been really neat. And so I'm okay with missing that one. The two things of the three that I really wanted, I think I got them. So I did find a copy of the Joe Strummer Gangsterville 12-inch, and it was the only one that was in the store when I was there. But again, I was there late, so they probably had a bunch. I've listened to the one side of it right now. It sounds great. It's basically two different singles from Earthquake Weather plus two different B-sides from Earthquake Weather that were released on old 12-inch singles for that record when it was out back in the – when it was originally released. So the songs – I don't have it in front of me. Cholo Vest and Punk Rock Blues were both B-sides to 12-inch singles that came out with Earthquake Weather back in 1989. So anyways, though, so far so good with that one. It sounds great. It has the word Unity etched in the runout on it, so that's kind of fun. But yeah, that record is neat. I also grabbed the Metz Mission of Burma 12-inch, which I've also listened to, and sounds really good, and it's crazy how much Mission of Burma sound like Metz on their Metz cover, as opposed to the other way around. It's like the Metz sound dominates that thing. Those were the two RSD releases that I got officially. But then there was all kinds of crazy discounts that were going on at SRC, and I'm really happy with the two things that I picked up, mainly because on the one, I would have never bought it, but I would totally buy it for half price. And that was last year during the Black Friday Record Store Day, there was a translucent orange vinyl reissue of the first Buzzcocks record, Another Music from a Different Kitchen, and that was there for half price. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And I grabbed a copy just because, again, it was half of Fake Problems' Real Ghosts Caught on Tape, which is a record I really love. Then I get home and I open it up, and it's a pink one. And their pink one was like a 150 run that was exclusively sold through shopradiocast.com, which, again, because this store is using Shop Radiocast's inventory, basically, was there. So I'm like, oh, okay. So that one is kind of, you know, rare and exclusive. That's neat.
Because I have a pinkish red one too. So
this is it's pink. It's like pink. But I just looked it up on Discogs, and like there's 150 of those. So,
oh wow.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. As I was checking out, there was the nice thing about SRC is that they always kind of – they try to go all out on the swag and stuff that you get. So I got this cool this big poster that they made that was like – I don't know if it's silkscreened or whatever, but it's like this neat little vinyl love poster with like a cool picture of a record on it that's got like a hand numbering on it. Like it's like 26 of 250. And then it all came in like a nice little printed silkscreened tote bag that they made that has the Vinyl Collective logo on it. So, I always walk out of there with stuff, and I like walking out with free stuff. But yeah, not a huge haul by any means. But that's this area. So it was I'm not going to get in any trouble for the stuff that I bought today. I guess where I'm going.
I mean, honestly, it was a little bit of a relief. Is Adam and Ricky? I thought prices were actually reasonable this year. Maybe it was the shop I was at. But I usually remember records being $25, $30, $35. The Sublime record was $20. The Flaming Lips CD was $12. And the New Barbarians record was $16. I thought that was, not cheap, but reasonable for Record Store Day.
Yeah, I think even for me, for Record Store Day, prices weren't bad. I mean, if they were normal, like, everyday prices, then I'd be like, I probably won't buy this much. But, overall, it wasn't terrible.
All right, Ricky. So that was my anemic little haul. I'm going to sit back and let you go here. What is in your pile?
All right. So So I talked about the pair of 7-inch that's in the mail, hopefully now. my friend who lives all the way up in Chico, California, he was not able to go to Record Store Day this year. So, and he wanted that Scum Dogs of whatever by Guar. So I picked that up for him. So that was the most expensive thing I bought. It was, I had to call him like, dude, do you really want this? It's $35. And he said, yeah. So that was the most expensive thing I bought. So when it comes to Record Store Day for me, I have my must-haves, and then I have like the stuff, like if I can get it, I'll buy it. But if I don't, it won't kill me. So the only thing I didn't get was that Ramones Judy is a Punk demo. That sold out. That seemed to sell out pretty fast. But that was one of the things I really didn't need. So what I did get was I got the Sonics live album, Live at E Street, which I've been wanting to get a Sonics album since I saw them last summer. So this should be cool to take a look at. So that was one of my lesser, like that was one of the ones I didn't want too much. The other one in that pile, I would say, is also I got the Alternative Tentacles reissue of Metal Urbane, the Panic 7-inch. John, I know you wanted it. Mine, I got the red color too, which I'm kind of stoked on.
That's cool.
And also, thank you, Alternative Tentacles, for providing a download code, because I don't think anyone else did. So I got that. And then these are the two that I wanted like really, really badly. I got the NoFX Sid and Nancy 7-inch. It's on red with like gray splatter, and like purple dots, I guess. So that was definitely one. And then the one I really wanted the most, was the Broke Down's Direct Hit Split, from Red Scare. And I'm seeing both NoFX and Direct Hit tonight. So if I didn't get them, I probably would have been able to get them at the show. You would think they would have them. But this one was like this was my number one. So I got that. That's my haul for this year. Not too much, but this is definitely the most I've ever bought on Record Store Day.
I mean,
overall, I'm very happy.
I'm sorry, Ricky, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, just, that Ramones one would have been nice, but it's whatever. Listen, how many times can you listen to Judy as a Punk and how many different versions, you know?
It's on the remastered CD, which you can get for $5, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are you going to actually listen to the record, you know?
So exactly.
It's a trinket, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that one, when I saw that one was sold out, like it didn't kill me. But no, everything else, very happy with. I'm excited for this Direct Hit one and the NoFX one. Leave cool. It to Amoeba Hollywood.
That doesn't sound too bad then. So yeah, you know what? All in all, pretty relaxing Record Store Day today. It did not in any way piss me off.
If you want to be pissed off, just look at eBay right now. People are asking for the NoFX 7-inch for like $45.
Yeah, but the price is already crashing. Actually, you can buy it now for $25, and on Discogs it's $25. So, you know, it used to be that Record Store Day prices would shoot up and stay up there for 3 or 4 months. Then they would stay up for like a month. Then they would stay up for a day. Now Record Store Day prices crash almost immediately, which is good. There's no reason for that, you know.
Exactly.
I might, like you said, the Guar record was $35. I can buy it right now $40 for shipping, which I might do.
That's actually
free shipping, you know. So.
That's pretty good, yeah.
But do I want to spend $40 for a CD that I already have? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Apparently, it's like – I think it's like a folding out – like there's like some fold-out thing when you open it.
Yeah, well, that was last year's too, but they did a really shitty job with last year's. This one's probably better, but –
Yeah, I mean, and again, like I didn't want it. I'm just sending it up to a friend of mine.
Well, I do want it, but I don't know if I want it for $40, you know.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. Anyways. But I mean, Adam, wait, honestly, it was a little bit more relaxing this year that like I didn't blow a whole lot of money this year, and it was kind of more leisurely, so it really was more enjoyable. And like I didn't have to like fret over what I wanted to get or what I did. You know, I just got a couple of things and was happy with that, you know.
Yeah, like you know what, for me it was like a nice day to go shopping for records, especially because like just coincidentally it's like the first nice weekend up here in a long time, so it was just like it was nice just to like go out and do it. So you know what, I got nothing to complain about. I know I saw all the snark tweets this morning. Everyone's like, yeah, every day should be record store day. It's a 365. Yeah. Support your local. Like, okay.
Whatever, fine. Man. You know, like, whatever.
But, you know, yeah. I was okay.
Also, if anyone wants to see what I walked, what Amoeba Records is like at 5:30 in the morning, check out the Punk News Instagram, because you can. I took a picture of just people sitting on a sidewalk waiting that early. Did anyone else take pictures of what went on?
No, and that's what I was shocked about, is there was not enough going on that I could take like a cool picture of. It was, it was really chill. It was like probably what these stores look like on a given day if they were kind of busy.
Do you think people are burnt out on record store day, or do you think this year just wasn't that great? Or do
you think, just, you know what? I can't judge having gone at like 10:30. So I don't have a good sample.
You know, I mean, for me, when I was walking out of Amoeba, the line was around the block. Like people, there wasn't any shortage of people. I just don't think, I mean, like there weren't, the list was not fantastic this year. I thought, I mean, there, yeah, I got a bunch of stuff, but like it wasn't stuff I like was dying to have, except for the 2 7-inches that the NoFX and Direct Hit 7-inches, and the other stuff I was just kind of interested in, but I didn't see like I didn't actually hear like anything like the equivalent to like the Cake box set or the brand new box set from last year that was a high price item
or the Fish box set from 2 years ago, which blew my people were like, oh god, who's got the Fish box set? I'm like, oh god,
yeah. The only thing I heard that sold out really fast was I don't know the band name, but it was called like Viva la Presidente Trump or something like that.
Oh, was that Iron Reagan or something?
I don't know.
It was Brujera. It's Brujera.
Yeah, like that.
But that's only because you're in LA. Brujera is like the LA power violence band. That's only because you're there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's from what I heard, like the top selling item. But other than that, it wasn't crazy. Like, I don't know, like the Cake box set, like I said. And then also, like, I remember like a Peanuts themed turntable was a big thing at one point.
A penis themed turntable?
No, Peanuts. Peanuts, like Snoopy. Gross.
I found out what Hello Kitty on Ice is. Do you guys want to know what it is briefly? Remember, we were talking about Hello Kitty on Ice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. It's actually really cool. Now I won one. Hello Kitty on Ice. You guys know who Neil Hamburger is? Neil Hamburger.
I've heard the name.
Neil Hamburger is an incredible comedian. He's one of my favorite comedians. His shtick is that he's this terrible comic that tells these most vile jokes that aren't funny, that are just vile. And I'll tell one of his jokes. It's like, and I'll try to emulate his delivery, but you should look him up on YouTube or something. It's like, what do you call those creatures that live in a greasy pile of thongs behind Britney Spears' house? Her children! that's his joke. They're like not even funny. They're like just offensive and mean. And he's really hilarious. Anyways, he's actually had some punk credentials. And he actually, before he was Neil Hamburger, he designed a couple of Flipper's albums where he did the layout. Hello Kitty on Ice is like a 1982 recording of Neil Hamburger as a teenager recording with Flipper just a couple of stupid punk songs, and that's what that is.
Oh, that is wow!
You could have fooled me. Like, apparently, I overheard someone else talk about the actual Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I saw the actual thing. Hello Kitty disc.
Like that one sold out pretty fast too.
Who's buying that?
Why? I don't know. And like, what was surprising was like the soundtracks. How many soundtracks were on the list? Like, why? And like, I actually saw a grown man. It had to be in his late 30s. He had what I think was like some Pixar DreamWorks animated, like How to Train Your Dragon soundtrack on vinyl for Record Store Day. Like he that was something he really wanted and he got. Because I was next to him at the cash register. It was like there's some weird stuff that I don't understand why I even got pressed for this year.
They actually had some really like soundtracks, like mediocre movies that didn't even do that well. I'll see if I can look one up while we're wrapping up. But Adam White, I forgot. Adam White, ask me what I got for Record Store Day.
What did you get for Record Store Day, John?
Well, I got the 220 grand press of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. I got the 220 grand press of Fleetwood Mac's Tusk. And I got the 220 grand press of Fleetwood Mac's self-titled album.
Oh, so like all the rarities and the...
Yeah, yeah. only $45 each. What a deal.
All right, guys. Well, you know what? Both of my children are crying right now, and I'm probably making my wife really super angry by not going to deal with this. So we'll take this special episode and release it to the world, and we will be back for the actual proper episode 297 sometime later next week.